The epistle to be read for the fourth Sunday of Advent is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4. Brethren, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the dispensers of the mysteries of God. Here now it is required among the dispensers that a man be found faithful. But to me it is a very small thing to be judged by you or by man's day, but neither do I judge my own self. For I am not conscious to myself of anything, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge not before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise from God. In the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and Philip his brother tetrarch of Ituria in the country of Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene, under the high priest Annas and Caiaphas, the word of the Lord came to John the son of Zachary in the desert. And he came into all the country about the Jordan, preaching the baptism of penance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the sayings of Isaiah the prophet, "A voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways plain, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and the dispensers of the mysteries of God. These words are taken from today's epistle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, this morning I would like to begin by telling you a familiar story about a bishop, an emperor, and a priest. The bishop is Saint Martin of Tours. And the Roman emperor is the Roman emperor of the West, whose name was Maximus. Saint Martin of Tours was one of the many great saints and bishops raised up by God in the 4th century. Like the 16th century, so the 4th century, too, was a century of some of the greatest saints who've ever lived. St. Martin of Tours is often overshadowed by saints such as St. Augustine, St. Jerome, St. John Chrysostom, and many other doctors of the church. But still, he is one of those great saints, and perhaps most famous for having given a half of his cloak to a poor homeless beggar. And later in a dream that night, Christ said to him, wearing that cloak, "Martin gave this to me." The saint did this while he was yet a Roman soldier and a catechumen. That is to say, one who is studying the faith and preparing for baptism. But it was after his baptism that he took off his military belt and led the life of a religious hermit in what is now modern-day France. On account of his reputation for learning and holiness, many others followed him. And thus did Saint Martin establish a monastery near the city of Tours, and not long after was he consecrated the bishop of that city. He became famous throughout the Western Roman Empire for his virtuous life, his zeal in preaching the gospel, the gift of prophecy, and many wondrous miracles. And so it was on a certain day that St. Martin was invited to dine with the Emperor Maximus and his court. The emperor placed the saint in a seat of honor at his right hand. And a certain priest who accompanied St. Martin, whose name we do not know, sat beside the saint to his right. Now, at these festive banquets at this time, as was the custom, before the meal began, there was the drinking of the ceremonial goblet. And the ceremonial goblet was a beautiful gold vessel, often laid with jewels, that was filled with wine that was brought to the emperor, who always drank first. And then he would pass it to the next person of great dignity, and so it was down the line. When the ceremonial goblet of wine was brought, the emperor took it from the servant, but instead of drinking first, he gave it to St. Martin to first drink. And this he did to show his respect and reverence for so eminent a guest. But when St. Martin had drunk from the goblet, the emperor stretched forth his hands to receive it back. But St. Martin immediately turned to his right and handed the goblet to the priest who sat at his side. This to the surprise of the emperor and to the shock of the imperial court. For you have to understand, my dear friends, that the dignity of the Roman emperor was the highest dignity in the land. But only after the priest had drunk from the goblet did St. Martin then return it to the emperor. Some of the nobles, of course, sat there silently stunned. They believed that St. Martin's actions were an insult and an outrage to the imperial dignity. But what was perhaps even more shocking to them was that the Emperor Maximus was not offended. He actually began to praise St. Martin. And I say this was probably more shocking to them, because when an emperor is insulted, the person who offers the insult usually would lose their head. What a shock it was to them to see the emperor praising this man whom they deemed insulted him. The emperor concluded his words by saying, "Martin has taught us well. The dignity of a priest is far greater than that of an emperor." The church, my dear people, reads the epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians each year on this fourth Sunday of Advent. And she does this, among other things, to remind her children of the great dignity of the Catholic priesthood, a dignity which has been lost and even destroyed in a certain sense by the Second Vatican Council and all the changes that followed. How often did we see and these changes, that lessening of the priest, that lowering of the dignity of priest to make him no different from the ordinary faithful. But the church does this. The church reminds us of this at this time of the year, just days before the celebration of the anniversary of the birth of Christ the Savior and eternal High Priest. Because yesterday was Ember Saturday. And that day, from most ancient times, the church set aside during the year for the ordinations of her priests, her deacons, her subdeacons, and all those who would receive what we call the minor orders. The minor orders of porter, lector, exorcist, and acolyte. It was thus the practice of the church to ordain priests every year on the Ember Saturday of December, the day preceding the birth of Christ, who, as I say, is the eternal High Priest. Yesterday at Immaculate Heart Seminary, Bishop Carroll ordained a subdeacon. He ordained two seminarians to the minor orders of porter lector, and he also tonsured two other young seminarians. Tonsure is a rite. It is a sacred rite whereby a man becomes a member of the Roman clergy. But in his infinite wisdom, our Lord Jesus Christ deigned to choose mere men to be his priests. And when you think about that, my dear people, it really is kind of a mystery that Christ should choose mere mortal men to offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass, to forgive sins, to teach and govern and sanctify the faithful for Christ. And yet, how marvelous and sublime is the priesthood of Christ. It is only on account of the sacred character which is conferred upon him at ordination that a priest transcends, as Saint Bernard of Clairvaux once said, all the dignities of kings, of emperors, and even, Saint Bernard said, of angels. And thus did St. Martin of Tours pass the ceremonial goblet to the priest beside him before he would give it to the emperor. And this, of course, was not to insult the emperor in any way, but simply to point out the dignity of the holy priesthood surpasses the imperial dignity. The priesthood, therefore, is the greater than all earthly dignities, and even that of angels. And the reason this is so, my dear friends, it's because what St. Paul said in today's epistle, priests are the dispensers of the mysteries of God. The mysteries of God are the offering of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, whereby the death of Christ is really and truly but shown mystically on the altar at every Mass. The mysteries of God are the administration of the sacraments. The mysteries of God are the doctrines of faith which the apostles preached. And St. Paul called these mysteries because they are beyond human understanding. Now, these past 3 weeks, we have been anticipating with the church the birth of our Lord at Bethlehem. Since it was not possible, of course, to go back in time, to go back to Bethlehem, and to be present at the miraculous birth of Christ, our divine Savior willed to bring Bethlehem to us. And you know, my dear people, he does this at every Mass. For as St. Alphonsus de Liguori said, at the words of consecration, the same incarnate word of Bethlehem has obliged himself to obey and to come into the hands of his priests under the sacramental species. In a certain sense, then, is Christ born again upon our altars at the consecration of each Mass. And as the Son of God once willed to come to us at Bethlehem through the humble and chaste Blessed Virgin Mary, so now he wills to come to us upon the altar through the ministry of validly ordained priests. Thus, there is no greater dignity on earth than that of a priest, for only the priest can make both Bethlehem and Calvary present on our altars. By the words of consecration, the priest commands, and the Son of God obeys. Christ comes when he is called. He is present upon the altar under the appearances of bread and wine. And he does this for our sake. Wondrous love that should move our God to do such a thing. And what sublime dignity that he should bestow such power on a mere man. It is no wonder that the devil's first assault and attack at Vatican II was on the priest. He first attacked the priest because of this wondrous power. St. Augustine says of the power of the priesthood and the priestly dignity, "O wonderful dignity! In their hands," he wrote, "as in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mother of God, the same divine Son of God becomes incarnate." This Christmas, my dear friends, pray to the divine infant Jesus and ask him to bless all our bishops and priests, and to bless us with vocations to the priesthood. I know in this day and age we all have so many intentions for which to pray. There are so many things, there are so many people for which we must pray. But please ask the Divine Infant this Christmas to bless us with vocations to the priesthood. Ask the Christ Child to bless, sanctify, and watch over all our priests, and to give us more priests. Priests whose lives are humble, patient, pure, holy, and virtuous. And priests who are on fire with the love for the divine infant Jesus, and for the salvation of your souls. May Mary Immaculate, the mother of all priests, may she strengthen and protect our priests. And may she fill the hearts of Catholic parents with a burning desire that their sons serve the infant Jesus and the crucified Christ in the holy priesthood. For as St. Alphonsus de Liguori once said, what greater glory can a man have than to be a cooperator with Christ in this great work of saving souls? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.